Okay, friends, I don't know if you can relate, but as we start to enter into the fall season, it also feels like we're entering into the busy season. The schedules feel a little more packed, and the meetings are a little more back to back to back. And in the past, I've noticed that with that, my health and nutrition kind of takes a backseat, which is why I'm so happy to have Factors, no mess, no prep meals in my back pocket. I always know that I can meet my wellness goals with Factor, with their chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, because Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, I always have time to enjoy those nutritious, great tasting meals that I need. So make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? Factor has 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week. You'll always have a new flavor to explore. And you can crush your wellness goals this month with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust, which is so important. So head to factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 and use code barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BARBKNOWSBEST50 at factormeals.com/BARBKNOWSBEST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
Ultimately, entitlement at the root of it is disrespect. Disrespect for yourself and disrespect for others. Because when you think about it, it's, I'm going to push you down to get ahead, to get what I want, or I'm going to cut in front of you, or I'm going to, you know, do whatever I need to do to get what I want when I want it. Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It's me, Michelle, and I'm here with my mom, Barb, and we're so excited to be chatting with you all this week about a really fascinating topic that I can't wait to dive in and share with you all. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited about this topic, too. It's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
As always, we've had requests for this quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, this is a topic, or our conversation this week is one that we've had requests to talk about both through the podcast and just on social media in general. And I think that it's a dynamic, I guess I would say, that a lot of us are experiencing and I think frustrated by, but maybe don't necessarily know how to tackle it or understand it or even like release judgment of it. And I know I can relate to this a lot, and I think you can too. So it should be a fun talk.
Jeez. It should be a fun talk. Yeah, it's one of those topics that has a spectrum. Like it could land on extreme and not so extreme sides of a spectrum, and then, you know, a little bit in the middle. So it's very interesting. I'm looking forward to having it because I've had some feelings about it, and I've run into some people that have, frankly, annoyed me with it. So it's going to be fun. Yeah.
Well,
so why don't
as
spill the beans.
As a millennial, a millennial. I find that this is a lot of the times targeted at us, but I think it goes deeper than that, and we're going to dive into it. Obviously, why. But I know that we get a rap of having this personality type a lot. So I personally am excited to break it down for everyone. So we're going to talk about entitlement and what it is and how it makes us feel and really how we can manage our feelings about it and our judgments about it, and even like notice it within ourselves too. You know, obviously all of this stuff is like a two-way street. If you see it in someone else, there's always a possibility that it's within you too. And I think we all have varying degrees of entitlement. And not necessarily all entitlement is bad. I think it's how we display it. But I know for certain, especially with the messages that we've gotten about this topic for a long, long time actually, but especially in this season in which we find ourselves as a nation, you know, tensions are high. And I've heard the word entitlement. Oh, that person's so entitled. Oh, I don't like how they feel so entitled to know this, this, and this about me. Or they act like they're so much better than everyone else. They're so entitled. I've gotten a lot of messages about that. So there's no time better than the present to
dive in. And I think it's interesting too, one of the things I've thought about as we were preparing to talk about this topic is like, where does it come from? Are we born this way? Or do we get the, is it a behavioral thing where we learn it? Is it something learned, or does it, you know, is it part of our DNA? So I'm excited about it. So if you look up entitlement in the dictionary, I love saying that too, because it really dates me, because I don't know if anybody looks up anything in the dictionary, they go to Google, right? But I guess Google is the dictionary now. So anyway, entitlement. I guess when
we're
Google
recording
it.
This episode in the afternoon, so you're getting a weird version of Barb.
I'm a morning girl,
and I don't know what version of me.
So in the dictionary or Google, it says entitlement generally refers to the belief that one inherently deserves certain privileges or special treatment. This can manifest in various ways, such as expecting rewards or recognition without having earned them, or feeling that one's needs or desires should always take precedence over others. It can also reflect an attitude where a person feels they are owed something simply because of who they are or what they have.
Oof.
And that's the extreme. I think for me, that's kind of the extreme version.
I know. When you read that, I'm like, okay, there's really nothing good about
that. No, I've seen variations of the word entitlement used lately, and I've heard other people use it, that we have to have some sense of our worth and our worthiness, and that we matter and that we deserve. I mean, you hear, especially in the self-help world, you hear that all the time. You're worthy.
You're always worthy.
You're always worthy. You deserve the best life you possibly can live, and all of those things. So there has to be, I believe, a sense, or actually a real deep feeling, that we are worthy and we do deserve the best life, but we don't deserve it because we come from money, or because we had a silver spoon, or because we had this happen to us or that happened to us, or we happen to have the right parents, or happen to have the right body type, mm-hmm. or we happen to have the right hair, whatever it is, or some external forces out there that people think because you have those external things, big cars or whatever, that you owed it, or that you deserve it, or you're entitled to it. I believe that the difference is, yes, we are all meant to thrive and live the best life we possibly can and have all of the things that we desire in life, or how to become the best version of who we are, but never at the expense of another person, which you and I talk about a lot in the social work that we do. Not ever at the expense of another person, or never at the thinking that I'm better than someone else, or I'm owed it because I do have this great body, or whatever it is we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not necessarily owed anything. I think the only thing that is true for me in my mind is I am worthy just for being a human. And
right.
for that, I guess you could say we're owed that just because we're human beings, we're worthy, but it doesn't mean we don't have to do the work. We don't have to put the work in to do the things that we came to this lifetime to do. And it also never means that we're going to diss someone else or step on someone else or degrade someone else or do any of those things that brings another person down.
Right.
We're meant to be lifting ourselves up and lifting others up. We're meant to all be here lifting each other up. So I think that's where it kind of gets lost in the shuffle, I think, sometimes.
Well, interestingly enough, when you were talking, I was starting to think about, I think where the differentiation is there's a difference between entitled and worthy and deserve. I feel like you hear those words interchanged a lot. Like, I did this, this, and this, so I deserve this. Or I'm entitled to this because of who I am or who knows me or whatever. worthiness is like you're always worthy of the thing or the stuff, but there's life that can get in the way of it, and we can't control how things unfold. So, of course, I'm worthy of my dreams and desires and goals and wishes, but that doesn't mean that they're going to happen tomorrow, that everything is gonna, you know, magically be exactly how I want it. And so I can still hold on to my worthiness without being entitled, and without also thinking that like that I deserve it in like a kind of obnoxious way, if that makes sense. So I really think that it's the first step here is to differentiate. When we say that you're worthy of stuff, it's not entitlement. And maybe it's a fine line to, you know, in, however you're interpreting these words as you're listening to this, but when you think about the definition that you read to us about entitlement, there were some key words there of privileges and special treatment, expecting rewards or recognition without having earned them, or feeling like you are owed or deserving of things without the work. And that's where you were kind of saying, like, we have to do the work because that's part of the human existence. And we're always worthy of the good that comes from the work, but it's not that it just is going to come to us.
Yeah, it's not going to be served to us on a silver platter, or it's not just going
to
be given
to us. So it's an interesting distinction, I think.
I love that, Michelle. I think that was really important to start off the conversation with that, because the other thing that I think so much about with entitlement is that it also, like, we, when we say we're worthy, like you said, I'm worthy of the dreams and the life that I have for myself. Yes, you are worthy. So now you make a plan, and now you decide, right, what am I going to do? What steps am I going to take to get to that particular place, to get to my dreams? But it doesn't mean that you're owed, that you're going to have, like you said, you're going to have this right now, or you're not on some imaginary timeline, like because I'm who I am or because I have the clothes that I have or whatever it is, that I'm going to get this right now and no one's going to stand in my way. And I don't need to have patience or need to think about the long term of what my goal might take. I'm graduating from college right now and I want a job right now because I deserve it. I just spent 4 years in getting my degree and spent $120,000 or whatever it is. So I deserve to have a job right now. I should not have to wait. And I think what's happening, maybe it's because of the pandemic and also just because of just the energy, I think, sometimes around us in the world today, you know, not just our country. There is this idea that we want it now. You know, there's no delayed gratification happening or no delayed, well, let me work for it and it'll come if I just stay consistent and stay steady and do the work. We want it now. And so not only do I want a job right now, I also want to be the manager, or I also want to be the CEO. So it's very interesting, I think, in the times that we're living in right now. I did a little bit of research. And back in the 70s, you know, it actually wasn't like this. It's very interesting to think about, you know, back in the 70s when I was in high school, I graduated in 1974. This research showed that people in my generation, and when I graduated in 1974, didn't expect. I think it's all a lot of it's about expectation as well, obviously. Yeah. But didn't expect to have a job right away when I graduated, or didn't expect to be in the best school ever, the most elite college ever, or didn't expect that they would be a manager of a company, you know, in the next few years. So it's very interesting to think. I feel like, especially because of social media and all of the, you know, the technology that we have today, everything is so fast. Everything, we're seeing all the people showing all the great stuff that they have and all the great beauty that they have. And just, there's a lot of stuff, I think, going on today with expectations, comparisons. You know, I should have it because I'm this, that, or the other, instead of I should have it because I'm worthy of being a human being. Now what plan am I going to make, you know, to go down the path of my life's desires?
Right. And I think that's another word to add into this conversation is expectation too. Because again, you can have something that you, or you can have a desire for something and it might not happen. Like, we know that life is filled with disappointments and free will, and sometimes things don't work out, or we change our minds, or there's always, you know, external factors at play. And it's like we're setting ourselves up for a lot of added suffering when we have the expectation, the entitlement, the feeling like everything and everyone owes us, when that's really not how the world works. And I think on the flip side, if you can start to cultivate, and it's hard, it's another practice that you can add into your toolbox, but if you can start to like lean back a little into the worthiness piece of like, and the trust piece that we talk about so often, that the right things and the right places and the right circumstances and the opportunities and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, will show themselves to me in the right time when I'm doing the work or taking the actions or doing the things that I know I need to do to also get there. And it's a different energy. I mean, there's lots of science behind this of like the, what it, where entitlement comes from and what the traits of it are. But think about the energy of someone who acts entitled versus the energy of someone who's trusting and confident. And again, it can be a very fine line of a difference between the two, but I know, like, try to imagine someone who you know who has exhibited both and how they've made you feel. It's a huge difference.
It's a big difference. I agree with you, Michelle. And I think, piggybacking on that a little bit, that I think the place to start for me always is, I'm always interested when I meet people or when I'm around people or friends that I have, that it's so important that I don't believe in my heart that I deserve better than someone else, or that someone else is less than me or less than I am. You know, that I deserve, that like I came into this world at a higher space, if you want to call it, or at a higher order. And I think that can cause a lot of problems if inherently we feel like we deserve better than others. Why would I deserve better than anyone else that's doing the work?
Right.
And I think that's where we kind of fall into judgment and comparison and all of the things that we do. Like I have no business judging someone else and their work. I need to actually look at my own work and make the competition with me and myself and not with someone else. So understanding that when I compete with me, if this is my goal in life, I'm going to take this step, and then I'm going to take this step, and I'm going to take this step, and I'm going to do the best I can every single day, the best I'm able every single day, because some days, you know, are better than others, of course. So it really matters for me that we look at making sure, I'm always going to say this, making sure that we are coming from a place of kindness and mm-hmm. from a place of, you know, you're as worthy as I am, and there is enough for everyone. I know there's that whole lack mentality that's going on right now too. I have to get it now because it's not going to be left. There's not going to be a place for me.
Right.
If I don't get it now, someone else is going to get it, and I'm more worthy than they are, and it's not fair. So I got to go get it now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's that whole instant gratification culture that really kind of permeates the life that we live right now. And technology certainly has made that more convenient, looking at social media. But what I think it has done tragically, especially I'm older, you know, I speak from an older, wiser, if you want to go, I just caught that. I now have the wisdom.
Well, it's called Barb Knows Best, isn't it?
I'm one of the wise ones. But no, I think it's life experience is what makes you wise. So it's I'm not any more special than anyone else. I just have life experience. I'm 60, right. Maybe 68 years old. So the thing that I think is terribly disturbing for me is that we don't, especially being a mindfulness and meditation teacher and student, is that all of this in our life today is reinforcing the idea that we don't have to wait, that waiting and hard work isn't really necessary. Like it enforces that idea that we don't have to wait. We don't have to work so hard because we're already owed it, or we already deserve it. And I don't know where that came from, but I hear that a lot from people. They'll send me a message and they'll say, I've already done this, this, and this. Why am I not further along in my life? And I don't really know people's whole stories and stuff, but I'll usually say, you know, kind of take a step back, look at what it is you want. What are the steps that you need to take to get there? Do your research or look at what it is you need to do. And a lot of it always is, when they answer me back, is they're not believing in themselves enough. So I kind of feel like sometimes maybe the scapegoat or the go-to, I don't believe in myself enough, so let me blame. Mm-hmm. Let me say, I should have had this already. I should be here already. I think we're kind of abdicating our role in life of doing the work.
And we're also trying to control life.
Yes, and believing in ourselves. I wanted to make sure I said that very vehemently, that we have to believe in ourselves. We have to care about ourselves. We have to love ourselves and do the work. So we can't think that, first of all, it's going to come tomorrow, that we don't have to wait and have a little bit of patience and trust. You brought up trust a little bit earlier too. And that we have to do the work. The work is necessary.
Right. Lots of things to say to that, because every time you speak, new thoughts come into my mind about so many things.
I'm the elder.
Barb knows best. About the waiting thing, that is a common conversation in the self-help personal development because of, for a lot of different reasons, and I've heard it quite a lot. And I think, again, there's the fine line of what that actually means. And if I'm interpreting what I've experienced in this sphere of what it means to wait, or that you don't have to wait, especially when you're talking about like manifesting or achieving your dreams and things like that, you don't have to wait to feel worthy, but you also don't have to wait to allow yourself to feel the feelings of the things that you want. You do possibly and likely have to wait for the external manifestations to come. Like I could say right now that I want to be a doctor and that is my new life goal. And then I can go back and think, okay, what are the steps? I have to take the tests, enroll in school, do all of the layers of school, then hopefully get into a place in X, Y, and Z. But if I realized right now in this moment that becoming a doctor is something that matters so much to me, I can start to embody what it means to feel worthy to be a doctor and the excitement that's going to fuel me to becoming a doctor, knowing that I'm not going to be a doctor tomorrow and that I'm going to have to wait and go through all of the steps that I need to take to get there, knowing that A, it's going to be hard and I'm going to be challenged, but also it's not a straight line. You know, the path to the things that we want sometimes has curves and twists and turns, and I could get through maybe 3 years of med school or whatever and say, look, this really isn't for me, which would be a huge admission if I'm paying to go to med school. But you know what I mean? So the waiting piece is really interesting because I've fallen into this a lot of like, okay, I'm doing all the work. Why isn't this happening? Or I'm doing all the work. Why am I still suffering? And the other thing that I wanted to say about that is, it's almost as if we're trying to manipulate our lives and our healing and our emotional growth by telling ourselves, okay, you've done this many meditations and you've been in therapy for 2 years and you've really practiced mindfulness solidly for the past 6 months. So you've ticked these boxes and therefore this should be happening. And as we know, that's not how life works. And so it's that... it's that attachment to the outcome, feeling like we have to micromanage the results in our lives that again lead us back to that suffering of the stuff that I'm doing isn't working. And then, like you said, then breaks into our confidence. Oh, I must not be good enough. I must not be doing things right. I'm not worthy enough. I'm just bad, or whatever, you know, the thought process might be, where in fact you don't do the stuff to get the outcome. You know, you do all of this stuff, whatever your practice might be, or whatever actions you're taking to take you along on the ride. And I think going back to one of your other points that was raised is like the instant gratification phenomenon of our culture right now. We used to have to wait for stuff, for everything. I mean, I was recently thinking about how, like, if there was a show that I wanted to watch as a kid, I had to look it up in the TV guide of what it was going to be showing, and I would have to plan my schedule around it. And if I somehow missed it, I would have to wait until a rerun happened or until like another episode aired maybe a week later. And there was no way to change that. And now obviously you can binge whatever you want, whenever you want it. And I think there's something to be said about knowing how to wait for things and not expecting everything to be at our fingertips 24/7.
Well, I think you said it really well, Michelle, this whole idea of you could watch a show, but you had to watch it, and you couldn't, if you missed it, you missed it, really is what you're saying in that whole regard when you were younger. And it's, we used to have in our lives, of course, in our lives, we used to have built-in situations that caused us to have to wait. Like you said, if you missed it, you missed it. You'd have to wait for the next week, or you'd have to wait for the rerun or whatever it was. You couldn't rewind, you couldn't record it, you couldn't whatever. So we used to have built-in situations like that, but now we don't. We really don't. The only places we have built-in situations like that is if we order a Starbucks and the coffee's not ready. When we get in there and we're angry. I think that's right. I think that's what the issue, I think, definitely. Or we're in traffic and we're going to be late for our meeting. Why are all these people on the road? Mm-hmm. Or why are they only going the speed limit? They should be going faster. We don't have those built-in automatic things that forced us in the past to wait. Now it's like the floodgates are open. This is what I think because I'm old, because I'm older. So
no,
I think
I agree.
It's so interesting when we don't have situations in our life where we have to wait, where we're being forced to wait without getting upset, without being enraged, mm-hmm. without allowing ourselves to really go off the deep end because, oh my gosh, I have to wait for my doctor's appointment that's an hour late. All that is frustrating, of course. All the things I'm mentioning are frustrating. But they should not, I believe that we have a way of dealing with them that they don't take us over the edge, where we lose our sense of, wait a minute, Barb, you're not entitled here. This is crazy. This is the way life is. You're not entitled. Just wait. Just have some patience. It's not that big a deal that you have to wait an hour or whatever the situation is. But I think that, I don't know, for whatever reason, I think the whole technology I just mentioned before and social media and it fuels the entitlement by, I think, fostering that idea of comparisons and going after self-importance and entitlement. I remember someone came up to me several years ago. It may have even been before the pandemic. Kind of everything now in life is judged before and after the pandemic. And she said, oh, you must be so proud or you must be so happy. And I said, oh, why? She goes, well, look at you on social media and look at all the wonderful things you're doing, the workshops and all that. I said, I really am. Then she said, you're so lucky. And I remember I just paused for a moment and I said, oh, I said, it's not luck. And she said, yeah, you're so lucky. Look at this. And I said, it's really hard work. It's really, really hard work. And I told her, I work X amount of hours. I mean, I'm a worker. I am a very hard worker.
You are a worker.
I work X amount of hours a week. Michelle and I do this and we do that and we do all of these things and to put on these workshops, it takes hours and weeks sometimes to prepare the content for it. And then we have to give it. And I went into this whole thing and she looked at me, she said, you are crazy. You should not be doing all of that. And I said, but how do you think I would get the outcome that you love so much or that you think is so amazing? And I remember walking away. We're still friends, but she didn't really get it because in her mind, you shouldn't have to work that hard, especially because of social media. Because then later she said that to me, isn't social media, you just put the stuff out and if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. I go, yes, but your contact has to be authentic. It has to be something, for me, this is a passion. Mm-hmm. I don't do it to get all the likes and to get all the notoriety. I do it because I am so passionate. You and I both do this because we're so passionate about helping others with the wisdom and the knowledge and the experiences that we've had in life with so many things that life sends our way that are really, you know, difficult and struggling and suffering and all the things that we've all been through because that's what life is. It's difficult. Yeah. So it's very interesting for me that idea that we get this unhealthy sense, I think, of self-importance and entitlement sometimes to attention, really. We want to be seen. We want to be known. And so sometimes for me, if I could have ended up that way because I never felt like I was seen as a child. Thank goodness for therapy and going into treatment and all the things and my practice, my mindfulness and meditation practice. I don't see it that way, but I can see how that can happen. If you're not seen as a young person or you're not even seen as a, as a child, obviously, but as a young person or even as a young adult, it would be important to have some attention placed on you. And that is a little bit of a form of that unhealthy part of self-importance. I'll get attention at any cost.
I am all about finding new tips, tools, practices, data to help me live my healthiest life, which is why I'm so excited to have found Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. All you have to do is breathe into your lumen first thing in the morning and you'll know what's going on with your metabolism, whether you're burning mostly fats or carbs. And then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. Your metabolism is your body's engine. It's how your body turns the food you eat into the fuel that keeps you going. Because your metabolism is at the center of everything your body does, optimal metabolic health translates to a bunch of benefits, including easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, better sleep, and so much more. Lumen gives you recommendations to improve your metabolic health. It can also track your cycle as well as the onset of menopause and adjust your recommendations to keep your metabolism healthy through hormonal shifts so you can keep up your energy and stave off cravings. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me/barbknowsbest to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/barbknowsbest for 15% off your purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
If you ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy, don't worry. I am right there with you, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you all to Sunbasket. Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, and no more grocery shopping, which was a big plus for me. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week, with options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb-conscious, and even gluten-free, all featuring organic, fresh produce, which is super important to us. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock in one type of meal. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for each and every week. They even have a pre-made meal option as well that are just as tasty and ready in 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you have to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. And I'm so thrilled to share a special offer for our lovely listeners. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
It is really interesting all of the different ways that it kind of bleeds into our day-to-day lives and really how much it's eroded our patience. And like you were saying before, our ability to wait and to trust and to not always be wanting more all the time. And you and I were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, and I think we'll do a whole episode on it, but it even has prevented us and not, it's prevented us from experiencing this, but also not embracing this. We don't know how to be bored anymore. And
what does boredom mean? Because there's always something at our fingertips to distract us. And I feel like we're kind of like talking, not in circles, but in like a infinity of like all things lead back to each other. Because like, I really find that the moments that I've carved out in my life for meditation or mindfulness are kind of those moments to be quote unquote bored, where I can't speed up the time that I've committed to do the practice. I have to release the expectation for what I think I'm going to get out of it. Sometimes I don't want to do it, or I'm, you know, really frustrated about it, but I do it because I'm committed to it. And again, thinking of one of the instances we were talking about in the past, like if I went on a road trip as a kid, we didn't have phones. We didn't have like TVs in the cars. So you literally just had to sit in the back seat and look out the window or talk to someone, but that was boring. But the boringness had a purpose. Even the expectation of instant gratification right now, of thinking about how much life has changed since we've had the ability to buy stuff online. I remember vividly the first time you ordered a book on Amazon before, when it was just books, and how like revolutionary that was. And now to think that right now in this moment, I could say, oh, I want to order some new kitty litter for Charlotte. And literally while you're talking, I could quite literally go on the computer and order kitty litter for Charlotte. And it could maybe even be here in a couple hours. Like, I don't have to wait. I don't have to leave the house. So it's just like starting to really think about where we've lost those spaces in our lives of waiting and of being patient and not needing to be so satisfied in every single moment, like delaying the gratification because we don't need, like, I'm not sure what the science of it is with like the, you know, neurotransmitters and the chemicals in our brain, but I don't necessarily think they're constantly needing to be stimulated by always getting what we want all the time. And I think there's a beauty and a power to just being patient with it all.
And yeah, for sure, Michelle, it goes back to that idea that we don't have the built-in wait, because now you can get kitty litter in 2 hours if you want it without even leaving the house. And I think that it's so fascinating to me to think about what you were saying about boredom, because we were talking about that. And I remember saying to you, I don't know if I've never in my life thought of myself as being bored. And I've really done a deep dive into thinking why this is. And I think it's very much what you were just saying. We're lacking in learning the capability and cultivating the ability to be able to take care of ourselves from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is due to, oh my gosh, the consumer culture that we're in right now is off the charts, literally off the charts. The advertiser, the consumer, they promote all the things in a way in such a cute, fun, you know, Super Bowl ads, everybody wants to see the cute fun or the horses or the dogs or whatever it is, the cute fun. No, in a way to tell us, what they're telling us is that happiness and fulfillment can be bought. And I think that to me leads to why we can't sit with boredom. Or if we are bored, okay, now what can I do within myself? Or what kind of game can I do within myself if I'm in a car driving, you know, 10 hours or whatever? We've just, I think, lost the ability to kind of just be with ourselves and not having any external stimulation.
And satisfied with what is.
Absolutely.
Like with the commercials and the consumerism,
absolutely,
it's making you think you need one more thing, well, or to change something about yourself, or that you need to age less, or if you buy this new clothes, you'll be cool. Like, it's
exactly. That's what I was going to say,
sorry.
Michelle. No, don't be sorry, because I love what you just said. That's the consumer culture. That's what's happening with advertisement. And that's how it's fueling entitlement. We see all of this and we get this message. It's a clear message that they're sending, exactly what you said. You deserve the best. You deserve the best face cream so that you can look 20 years younger.
Right.
You deserve the best ice cream so that it melts in your mouth and doesn't add 10 pounds to your body. I mean, they're telling us all these crazy things. And I think that you don't have to earn it. You just deserve it. You deserve the best. And it's all in the external world. You just have to go out and get it. And I think this fosters the mindset that life is about rewards. Life is solely driven on the reward symptom, on the reward system, simply because you want it.
Right.
You know, you want to look 20 years younger. So now all the ads, people are telling us, how do we look 20 years younger? Or how do we get that degree from college now without leaving our house? You know, nothing wrong with that. There's no judgment about any of this, but it's just interesting to look at how it does fuel our anxiety about not having what we want when we want it. And that's why your famous line is always trust your timing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I was talking to a friend who works in a luxury fashion store, and we've been having this conversation for a while. In fact, I think he's probably one that's really prompted this conversation for me. But this example kind of feeds into everything that you're saying, where he sees influxes of people coming in searching for specific products at his store if someone very influential has posted about it online. So let's say some influencer posts about a purse. He gets flooded with people coming in looking for the purse. The purse is sold out, and he says he's never been treated so poorly in his decades of working in this store than he has been lately, because people come in saying, look, I need this bag right now. He says, sorry, we're sold out. And they get enraged with him that he can't give it to them, or that he can't find it somewhere else for them. They've come in with the expectation that they're entitled to it. And when he says, sorry, he can't, it's like the worst disappointment ever. And he said too, like, that people have just become so rude about it, and that it's really disappointing. But like, it's like a cycle. You'll see one person come in, and then it's a flood of just people wanting to kind of keep up with the Joneses, almost, of what they see on social media. And if they're not given what they want in that moment, it's a really uncomfortable and not so kind interaction. And again, like, the online aspect of it feeds it, the consumerism feeds it. Like you were saying, the desire to have attention, or desire to be deemed cool, or to gain followers, or to be liked, or to be seen as whatever in society fuels it. But ultimately, it's this really unfortunate pattern of like treating people poorly because you're not getting what you want when you want it exactly as you want it.
You just are brilliant. You just let us into, let's talk about, what does entitlement look like? And I think that was something you and I talked about a few days ago, because we had an episode, I think, that kind of mirrored some of the things that you're talking about, not about buying a purse in a store, but just this idea that entitlement doesn't just affect how we feel. Like, okay, let's just say I feel like I'm owed this. It affects and influences our behavior drastically. And I think that's what you're talking about with your friend. Okay, you don't have this, and they go off on him.
Yeah, he says he braces himself. Like, if he sees things that are starting to trend, like, he knows he's going to experience the wrath of the people coming in because he knows that supply is limited, whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, that, we don't have to be that way.
No, but that
also,
is...
Also, I mean, we can also have our own, like, just because one person likes it doesn't mean we all have to like it. Like what you like. But that's a different conversation. But he really, like, he's an empath. He's a really kind person. And whenever we have these conversations, like, I can feel it in him of how much it impacts him when people treat him that way. And it's like, what the heck are we doing? Like, we don't have to do this over literally stuff that does not matter.
Well, that is the strong sense of entitlement that we're talking about.
That's the epitome of entitlement.
Yeah, that's an extreme end, because the strong sense of entitlement like that exhibits very bizarre, hurtful, you know, insane, and actually fearful from the person who's receiving it and the person that's giving it. They're making the people on the other end literally afraid. I'm imagining just the way you described all that.
Violent really afraid about it.
And I think, you know, we talk about, okay, what does entitlement look like? That's a way that it looks. And I think that stems from not only all the things that you said for sure, but I also think somehow we've got this attitude now that we have to have expectations up to the clouds, like the highest expectations imaginable of others. So if you're working in a store, you have to be able to give me what I want. And if you don't have it, you're out of it, you got to go find it. If you're at the doctor's office, or if you're anywhere, if you're at the gas station, you have to wait in line to get it to the pump, whatever it is, we have the highest expectations with the most unrealistic demands on others.
Yeah.
And I think whether it's, you know, expecting extra attention, sometimes in relationships, whatever that looks like, special favors at work, whatever, we're always looking for that preferential treatment in social situations, especially, but just in general, like I deserve it. I'm owed it, which we talked about before, but I think the way it manifests in that high, high expectation of other people, it's a strain. It's a drain. I mean, I feel drained right now listening to you and talking
I know,
about this, because it is draining when you think about other people being mistreated or treated poorly, or just even ourselves, that we are that way sometimes. Like there is a society of culture around that right now. And that I think what we're not understanding, which is how it manifests, I believe, is it also manifests in our personal close relationships, either families,
yeah,
loved ones, work. You know, I think after a while, if a person is too entitled and this behavior gets severe like this, they don't want to meet that expectation that you have of them, and they don't want to have to cater to that expectation. So it's really a, as you said, like a loop.
Yeah.
You know, we want like all this, we want all this, we want all this, but then we want to come home and have the people that we love, or have our family, or have our coworkers, you know, be kind and give us what we need or what we want. It's really a weird situation, I think.
Well, I was going to say too, like, yes, the example of my friend in the store is kind of a physical manifestation of entitlement, but to your point too, there's kind of the beneath the surface manifestation of it within our relationships, where I know I've seen it in our relationships with some people where, you know, it's almost like a tit for tat energy, where it's like, oh, I've done this, this, and this for you, so why can't you do this for me? I've supported you this way, so obviously you owe me this. I've done this, so you do that. And it's, I would say within relationships, it's a really hard dynamic to navigate between, like, what is a balance of a healthy relationship versus, like, is this person doing this, this, and this to get something from me? And that's where, you know, the feelings of resentment and frustration and entitlement come through really big time for us, of like, just because you do things for people doesn't mean that you're owed things. And I want to do things for the people that I love because I want to do them. And if I have someone in my life that says, hey, I'm doing this, can you spread the word? I would be happy to. But most people in my life now, it's like an even give and take, and it's not attached to getting some outcome, like they're trying to get something out of the relationship. And that's really where the entitlement piece comes through, where it's sometimes beneath the surface, because it's not like, oh, give me that bag right now.
That's really beautiful, Michelle.
I've come to 18 of your workshops, so what are you going to do for me?
That's really beautiful, because I have to say, I love what you said, that you have a really even give and take in your relationships, because you have a lot of really, really, really good friends. And I think that, you know, that's another episode, and maybe we've already done one on boundaries and stuff. Like, all your friends, and you all have good boundaries, and you all respect each other, and you all like each other, and you all love each other. It's just, it's a whole different elevation of what relationships are. And I really have to commend you. I love all of your friends, and you have some really deep relationships.
We share a lot of friends too. So you have good friends too.
I really think about what you just said. And I think as we move on to what does it look like, I think one of the things, there are several things kind of in a row here that have always really hit my buttons. First of all, when people act entitled, they lack the ability to be accountable for a mistake, be accountable for a failure, or be accountable for if something doesn't happen, or they blame external factors. There's never that, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I just made a mistake. Wow, you know, I won't let that happen again. And then move on. You know, there's no accountability for, you know, not even the slightest little thing of being able to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake here, or I'm sorry, wow. Or even looking at yourself and even internally saying, wow, this failed. This project that I just did not work out the way that I expected. Let me now learn from this. And what do I need to do next? Now I know what not to do. What do I need to do next?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say one other thing, just piggybacking on what you said about frustration. I think that's the other thing I've noticed, because I've noticed that myself lately. Mm-hmm. I've had with the fracture in my knee, sometimes my frustration level gets up there and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
poor me. I just can't go one more day. And so that idea, though, when you look at it to the extreme of an entitled person and not feeling sorry for yourself because your knee is hurt is not being entitled. I don't want to say that at all. But what I do want to say is the ability to tolerate frustration,
yeah,
I believe is at a high level. That idea that if things don't go as expected, there's setback, like the whole thing, we can't accept the setback, we can't accept the criticism, we can't accept the disappointment. And for me, what I've noticed in people is it manifests in anger, mm-hmm, road rage, in impatience, which, mm-hmm, we've talked about already, and kind of withdrawal.
And disrespect.
And well, for sure, disrespect. Yes. Talk about that.
That's, I wanted to say huge, something else really quickly, and maybe it's an interesting way of where entitlement isn't all bad when you were talking about your knee, because I think that your knee opened both of us up to a different perspective in life, because like you've said, your knee has brought some impatience and frustration and all of that. But I know that you've had experiences because you were on crutches or you were in a wheelchair for a little bit where, you know, if someone was blocking the wheelchair ramp to get up or didn't hold the door for you or kind of cut you off when you're walking really slowly because you're on crutches, those are things that I feel like you expect people to be mindful and respect people who are struggling physically. And that's why I say this openness, we really noticed how people don't. And I think you should feel entitled where, you know, someone would move if they're blocking the wheelchair ramp
and
hold the door open, yeah, for you if you can't open it because you're in a wheelchair.
Well, what that brought, and I'll let you get back to the disrespect, but what that brought to me, first of all, I want to say a lot of people did. You're right. But it was really fascinating to see how many didn't. But I think they weren't aware. I honestly, yeah, think they weren't mindful whatsoever, because that's the attention that it brought to me. I remember coming out of a bathroom or something and saying to you, Michelle, I will never, first of all, use a handicap stall again that I don't need, even if it means I have to wait. But I also will never not pay attention with some of the surroundings around me. If someone is struggling to get in the door, I want to make sure I hold it for them. It made me very hypervigilant to people that are in a wheelchair or that have an impediment in walking or any kind of a bodily function that's not...
disability.
Yeah, anything like that. It made me very hyper aware that, wow, I bet sometimes I'm not very aware. So I kind of chalked it up to people just totally absorbed in their own selves, absorbed, yeah, in what it is that they're doing, absorbed in how they can go get it. And they're not even aware of what's happening around them is how I think of that. But it was the best, because I've never been, yeah, never broken a bone. I've never had anything like that. So it was a huge awakening for me.
Yeah. And that experience opened you up to a new awareness, which is like,
yes,
Maya Angelou, you know better, you do better.
Yes.
But so that was an interesting dynamic for sure. But of course, going back to the disrespect, and we have an episode coming up about disrespect, because I think all time our most listened to episode was about disrespect. So that seems to be a hot topic for you all.
And I think it's time we talk about it again, because disrespect seems to be at an all time high.
Totally. But I think that ultimately entitlement at the root of it is disrespect. Disrespect for yourself and disrespect for others. Because when you think about it, it's, I'm going to push you down to get ahead, to get what I want, or I'm going to cut in front of you, or I'm going to, you know, do whatever I need to do to get what I want when I want it. And that's just not a respectful mindset or energy to put out. Like, everyone is worthy of what they want. There's more than enough. I don't have to cut someone out in order to have a place. And I think ultimately, as we start to get into like, how do we break free of our entitlement or stop judging it? It's like getting to the root of respect first, of like, I guess, holding the value that we all want to be respectful of one another. And then having the trust and the patience and the confidence that like life will provide for you. You don't have to knock someone down to get what you want. And then also really reevaluating the values of it all to where, do I really need to go into a store and like yell at a worker because I can't get a purse?
I know that
it's a lot. There's layers.
There's very many.
But I
layers,
think ultimately yeah. it boils down to respect.
It does.
Also gratitude. Like,
well, that's a way. I'm glad you brought up gratitude, because I was thinking, what are some of the strategies about, you know, if we're feeling. Well, I want to say one thing first, though. Remember this episode you all are listening to right now. We're talking about entitlement and some of the extreme examples of entitlement, and trying to show how it shows up in our lives, or how we've seen it show up, or how we've witnessed it, or how we've noticed it in our own daily lives. But I want to say, inherently, we believe that people are generally good people. They're not trying to put other people down. They're not trying to get ahead at the expense of other people. I think because of technology, and I think because of everything that's happening today, and this, the energy's way up, and things are just, I feel
tough.
Yeah, everything is really, really difficult. We're seeing it pretty much front and center. When I say we, I'm saying the collective we out there in the world, that it's hard. It's really hard. And that this entitlement, that's why I think so many people asked us to talk about it. This entitlement, I'm glad that the researchers called it this, what did they call it? Entitlement complex, I think is what I said. Yeah, an entitlement complex, because it is kind of a complex. It is a whole idea of everything that we've been talking about thus far in this podcast. But I actually don't want to, listening to us talk, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's so awful out there, but it's not. It truly isn't. I am the most optimistic person. You are very optimistic. And so we have to have that mindset that at the end of the day, people are good. They're doing the best that they can, but we also have to set the boundaries. And I think going into what are some of the strategies we can have just to be aware, if we're aware of someone as being entitled, we don't need to feed into it. We can have a boundary not to let it affect our lives.
Right. All of this is how we can work on our side of the street and be an example. Like, we can't force people to not be entitled, but we can start to notice small areas in our lives where maybe we're exhibiting entitlement. I know I've done it many times, and it's like everything else, awareness, because I think the more that we can chip away at it in ourselves, like it does have a ripple effect. And, you know, not being so reactive to people that do display that to us, you know, kind of breaks that chain of reactions. And so, yeah, how do we break free of it? I think the self-awareness, for sure, noticing it within ourselves. And honestly, and this is a lot, but like, dive into the feelings of why, like, where is that coming from? Because I think, like we talked about at the beginning of the episode, a lot of it stems from like not actually feeling worthy or loving ourselves enough, or feeling like we have the self-confidence to trust or to lean back a bit. Like, we think we have to micromanage life and control it. So that might be a painful exercise, but dive into the feelings of it. And to remember, like, to be grateful for what is right now. We don't always need the next thing or to achieve the next thing or to up level. Like, there's a lot of beauty and growth and lessons in marinating in the present of what is right now. I have a lot of goals and desires for my career, my book that's coming out next year. I could want it to come out tomorrow, but I'm reminding myself that I have to be in this moment of the editing process, which is sometimes unpleasant, but I know that I'm never going to be in the editing process of my first book ever again. And so it's sitting in the the chapter of what is right now and having gratitude for it, knowing that the other chapters are coming.
I love that, Michelle. And gratitude is one of my favorite things of all time. And I have a practice when I wake up in the morning. I think I probably said this on the show before, but when I wake up in the morning, before I get out of bed, I close my eyes and I just say this, whisper this little sentence to myself, thank you for the gift of this new day. And then I just pause for a moment or two, take a few deep breaths, and then I step out of bed. I believe that when you begin the day with gratitude,
yeah,
you know, even if you're not feeling it, even if you're still tired, just reinforcing that whole beauty that you woke up, because not everybody wakes up the next morning when they go to sleep. Unfortunately, that's the way life is. We have life and then we have, you know, death. I know. I
didn't mean for it to get like, afraid to say death.
I was kind of.
We're Scorpios. We talk about death.
We do. So just those little things, I think, is what we want to share with you before we close this episode, because it's so important. And I believe that how you begin the day sets the tone for the whole day. Mm-hmm. Just that idea of, I woke up this morning. Thank you for the gift of this day, because it is a gift. So that already eliminates entitlement. That already, I'm thanking this gift that came to me that I had no expectation. I mean, we have
control over.
Control is the word I meant to use. We expect to wake up the next morning, but we don't know that we're going to wake up the next morning. So it really is a gift. So thank you for the gift of this new day. And then stepping into the day, just being you, like allowing yourself to just be who you are, taking accountability if something doesn't go right. Don't try not to get into the blame, because when you're in that gratitude phase, you don't really have the need to blame. And I think this idea of waking up with gratitude to begin the day, it fosters, or you're actually fostering and cultivating appreciation. Like, I just received a gift that I didn't really know. I mean, we think we know, but we don't. And rather than expectation, this person has to do this. This has to happen. If this doesn't happen, I'm going to throw a fit. I'm going to be so angry. I'm going to be so frustrated. It's going to ruin my whole day. So how often do we say things like that? That's entitlement. That's a form. That's those little forms of entitlement that we all embrace in some form or another. But I want to say this about entitlement as well, or anything that we talk about. It's one thing to feel entitled. It's one thing to feel anger. It's one thing to feel sad. It's one thing to feel all the things that we've talked about, or all the feelings that we have as humans. But it's another thing to live there in the entitlement, or to live there in the sadness, or to live there in the anger, instead of feeling the feeling and letting the anger or resentment or entitlement move through you and just come back to a place, okay, this is what I need to do next. I'm feeling angry. This is what I need to do. I'm angry that I have to wait in line at the gas station. Let me just close my eyes while I'm sitting here and take a couple deep breaths and remember the gratitude that I have for this new day. All those little teeny tiny things, they seem like they don't matter. I say all the time, the ordinary moments of our day truly are extraordinary.
Yeah, that's a good distinction.
Ordinary moments have the power to change our entire day, to change the mood of our entire day.
That's a really good distinction, because I think from there, you can start to become more patient. Like you said, you have to wait in line at the gas station. Okay. Like, sit with yourself and breathe. Be patient and, you know, start to intend to be respectful of other people, other people's lived experiences, perspectives, and having that self-awareness is really key. Again, all of these things are practices, though, with which none of us are perfect.
No.
But they're just stuff adding to the list of things that we work on.
Definitely.
To enhance our lived experience.
I love that, Michelle. I really love that.
Well, because, you know, we're not, again, expecting a result. Like, if I'm somehow less reactive to someone's entitlement, like, I'm not going to win a prize for doing so. Like, maybe you'll give me a gold star or something. But I can't do these things with the expectation of reward, because that's kind of, you know, the same side of the coin almost of entitlement. You're doing it to feel more peace, or to feel less anxious, or to be more understanding, or to not have so many combative interactions with people. That's why. To be more kind to people, to not be a part of like the problem of that chain of like anxiety and rage and anger, like breaking it with being patient and self-aware and understanding and kind.
And I think all of that has to begin with ourselves.
Yeah, of course.
I want to share, this morning, I was in the middle of doing some work this morning around 8 o'clock. I get up really early.
Which is why we didn't record this morning.
Yeah. And I got hit with a phone call that I had to go do something right now. I had to go meet some people and do something right now. And I still have my pajamas on. I mean, I wasn't ready to leave the house yet. And so did all the things, got in the car, drove there, and I could feel the frustration building up inside of me. Oh my gosh, now I'm going to be late. Michelle and I have work to do. I have some things I have to do as well. Oh my, you know, just that happening. And I just tried to stay as calm as possible. And as I was driving home, once I did the task that I had to do, and as I was driving home, I could still feel some of the frustration in my body. And I thought, you know, Barb, you don't have to carry this with you now into the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. You're going to go home now and you're going to meet Michelle and you're going to work on things that she and I have to work on, but you don't have to carry this. It's done. You can let this go. And I remember just kind of at the light, stoplight, coming back to myself, closing my eyes for a second, just saying, thank you for the gift of this new day. Thank you for the gift of this new day. And at this whole idea that we can shift the mood in a second. And what I mean by that is the frustration, it didn't all go away. You know, it's leaving my body, but it felt, oh yes, mm-hmm. This is a good day. This is a good day. I'm alive. I'm driving to meet Michelle and we're going to do our work. It's kind of like your mind then detaches from all that frustration, all that irritability that something happened that you didn't expect it to happen. And how could they do that to you? Kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
To, okay.
But you felt the frustration and the anger and the annoyance and all that stuff.
That's what I wanted to say.
You didn't push it away.
No. And we're going to. So that's what
I heard about it too.
That's yeah. I said, oh, how'd you have a nice time sleeping in, honey? No, that's why I'm saying this, that it's a spectrum and there are very, you know, vast differences of how entitlement can show up in our lives. And it's important to be aware, as you were saying, Michelle, and to really kind of look at ourselves. Wait a minute. Am I being impatient? Am I frustrated? What am I feeling? Talking to yourself. I do it all the time.
You do talk to yourself.
And I think the last thing I just want to share is, you brought it up earlier to Michelle, is maybe just emphasizing that entitlement versus healthy self-worth.
Right. We're not talking about not believing in yourself or not feeling like you're worthy or enough or valid. Again, I think the differentiation is if you're feeling that way at the expense of someone else. Like, there's room for everyone to feel worthy and valid and enough and to have what they want. But when it starts to take away from or harm someone else or at the expense of someone else is when it goes from healthy self-worth to entitlement or expectation.
Yeah.
Or being owed, or I deserve this.
I love that. Because I believe healthy self-worth, you value yourself. You love yourself. And so you trust. And I believe that when the healthy self-worth, not self-absorption or anything like that, healthy self-worth, when we value and love ourselves, we naturally then often extend that to others. And I believe that we understand with healthy self-worth that success and rewards and the things that we're looking for in life, they come from effort and contribution. And giving, and it's in giving we will receive. That whole idea that it is that give and take. Like you said, you have a very even, healthy give and take with your friendships. It's that even give and take that I believe is so important for us to have that kind of healthy self-worth in order to exist in the world today, really to be the person that we came here to be and to do the things that we deeply desire to do. And having love and acceptance of ourselves and also wishing love and acceptance for others. Like wishing what we want for ourselves for others.
I agree. I love that.
You can't give to others what you don't give to yourself. So it really has to start with ourselves, really cultivating that healthy self-worth.
Yep.
And gratitude.
Gratitude. Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
That was a fun episode. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to call millennials entitled anymore, yeah?
No, I think...
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, it's all for us to go out and to examine it within ourselves and in our lives. You always say, we're the scientists of our own life.
Yes. And maybe all this is coming so that we start to look a little bit more inward, living our lives from the inside out, instead of expecting or having those kind of expectations that the outside world is going to give us everything that we need.
Love it. Thanks, Mom. And thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have questions, comments, concerns, let us know. And make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to stay in touch. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode. And if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave us a review. We have so much gratitude when you do so, and it's really helpful for us and the show. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.